Good evening, my friends, and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Very excited to have you with us here tonight. It is Monday, April 2nd, 2007. Hooray! Why am I cheering? Not because it's Monday, that's for sure. I'm cheering because we made it through another month. And that, in and of itself, my friends, is always, always exciting. However, things change as the days march forward, and we'll probably talk about quite a bit of it here tonight in the course of our news segment. Certainly more stuff going on in regards to Iran and the situation there with the UK sailors and Marines being held hostage. We covered this extensively last week, you may recall, in a four-hour news segment without any phone calls. And it's interesting because looking at some of those predictions, they already seem to have borne out, some of them. So we'll address some of the news today and then also some new and intriguing angles, things that maybe we've not heard of yet so far. So really fascinating stuff in the news, as there always is. We'll cover it. We'll get into it. But first things first, my friends, welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. And maybe you're listening on our website, franklyspeakingradio.com. By all means, click on our guest's link for tonight. His name is Giorgio Tsoukalos. He is... Oh, gosh. He's from AASRA, which stands for Archaeology, Astronautics, and SETI Research Association. I always trip over that, but the website there, legendarytimes.com, is a lot easier to remember. So we certainly are happy about that. Let's see. Also, I have to put this out there, too. A lot of you are very familiar with our good friend Drew Raines. He lives in Arkansas. Not near me, but he does live here. And he calls into the show a lot. He's a good man. He has been in the hospital for the last few days. And he's expected to get out soon, but certainly for those who are of the praying sort, his prayers for him would be greatly appreciated by him and by me, because Drew is a great, great, great friend to this show, to me personally, and to this whole entire process. Everything we try to do with the highlighting of various things and getting the information out there, it is a vital component, and he is a vital cog in this machine. So we all are hopefully praying for his well-being and his healing. Hopefully it will happen soon, and hopefully it won't be anything that he can't get past. But the guy's a Marine. He's tough. He'll be fine. I really think that. But certainly prayers directed his way are always a good thing. So keep that in mind. I talked to him earlier today. He seems to be doing well, seems to be in good spirits, all things considered, which is always a good thing to hear in somebody's voice. It's just, you never can tell. You hate to hear all this stuff going on. You hate to hear about people, you know, getting knocked out of the race, even if it is only for a brief time. A lot of pollen issues, a lot of allergy issues, a lot of people suffering. From what I've seen, basically high pollen count somewhere around 120. We're at about 3,000, and it's just been crazy. A lot of people here suffering from allergies, and we're not even the worst in the country. Those of you who, I guess, in the southeast are absolutely getting nailed. So you know what I'm talking about. I don't need to remind you about all that, about the inches of pollen everywhere, and trying to keep everything clean, including your cars, and it just gets in your house. It's awful. It gets on your pets when they go outside. So we may be looking into the allergy issues later on this week, but when we come back, we will hopefully have our guest ready to go, and we will, of course, be talking with you guys. I figure we'll probably spend the first hour just touching base on some basics, and then we'll open up the phone lines to you guys if you'd like. Our phone number, as always, 800-313-9443, toll-free worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Hopefully you had a great weekend. Hopefully you're ready to kick off the week with the show, and we will do so when we come back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome to Monday night. As I mentioned, a lot of big news happening in the last couple of days, and you know, you always got to take it with a grain of salt, especially when it comes out on April 1st. And luckily, April 1st this year fell on a weekend, which makes it easier for me with my news collections, because a lot of times you'll find websites that focus on news predominantly, and maybe they have good stuff. They always, you know, do it with a wink and a nod. They'll put out some ridiculous stories. At least some of them are ridiculous. Some of them maybe seem relatively credible. And, you know, it's April Fool's. So a lot of people go ahead and say, oh, it's just a cute little prank we played. We're going to put out a bunch of fake news on the 1st. Yeah, real funny. Especially when people are actually trying to get truth and information. I've never been a big fan of that, but it does happen on some websites. I don't know. Anyway, it just depends on where you go, but I think a lot of us have seen various news outlets, mainstream and otherwise, fall into that trap of of glomming onto a story and assuming that it's a truthful story when, in fact, it's, you know, maybe from a parody site like The Onion or something like that. Anyway, however, we do have a couple of stories that I think are legitimate. You can go ahead and gauge these things for yourself. But this first one came out yesterday, Reuters. Witnesses heard several small blasts and saw smoke rising from inside the British Embassy compound in central Tehran on Sunday during a protest over 15 detained sailors and Marines. One witness cited 8 blasts, saying that they came from small homemade explosive devices. So this thing, certainly not going away, and I don't think anybody have really expected that it would. I know I certainly did not. Very, very interesting. Got this one also yesterday, also from, actually this one's from the Associated Press. Iran has sent a formal letter to the British Embassy in Tehran protesting an alleged incident in which British troops surrounded an Iranian consulate in Iraq and fired shots into the air. Iran's state news agency, IRNA, reported Sunday on its website. So very, very interesting. The first one, of course, was the British Embassy in Iran, and the second incident took place at the Iranian Embassy in Iraq with British troops. So a little bit of back and forth there, I guess you could say. It's very, very interesting. And it goes on. Britain has denied any aggressive action, saying that the shooting was an exchange of gunfire after British troops set on a foot patrol near the Iranian consulate were ambushed. In the note, Iran reportedly asked Britain to prevent such actions in the future and to respect international laws regarding diplomatic buildings, according to the IRNA news outlet. The British Foreign Service, our foreign office, had no immediate comment. The shooting incident allegedly occurred in Basra on Thursday and was reported by Iranian Consul General Mohammad Rida Nasir Baghban, who said British forces had engaged in a, quote, provocative act, end quote. The IRNA report did not clearly state when the letter was delivered. So a bunch of shenanigans going on this weekend, folks, and I don't think anybody's really surprised. Like I said, we covered this extensively last week, and a lot of this is just confirmation sort of stories. It's very, very interesting stuff, but not surprising at all. And there's plenty more where that came from, but we'll get into it as we go into the show here. I understand our guest has joined us, so very excited to have him with us this evening, folks. Check out the website, legendarytimes.com. That is the website of the Archaeology, Astronautics, and SETI Research Association. Please welcome the chairman and co-founder, I believe, Giorgio Tsoukalos. Welcome to the program, sir.
Frank, thank you very much for having me. It's going to be an honor.
Well, it's an honor already for me, my friend. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're with us. And, you know, this is not our first interview. This is our first interview at night. So this is going to be an interesting thing, I think, for all of us. And certainly I love all of your information, and I love our interviews because we always have a good time together. There's a lot of truth out there that people are not certain about. And I think that as time goes on, people are starting to ask more questions, which is certainly a refreshing thing for me, and it must be for you and your research as well. Let's talk about it. What is the AASRA?
And what? Because that is so complicated, we basically, from now on, we just call it the Center for Ancient Astronaut Research.
Oh, that's much better.
And way easier. The other one is a mouthful. But anyway, that's the trademark, you know, what
yes.
Can you do? But essentially what we do here is we try to prove whether or not extraterrestrials have visited Earth in the remote past.
Mm-hmm.
And we have countless pieces of evidence that would suggest just that. And, of course, a lot of people right now listening might be, what is he talking about? How can you even suggest such a
mm-hmm.
thing? And essentially it all goes back to all the ancient myths of our past that speak of these beings that a long, long time ago descended from the sky and taught mankind in various disciplines such as architecture, astronomy, mathematics, engineering, all those different things. And those beings are also commonly referred to as the gods. And in the research that the Center for Ancient Astronaut Research does, whenever we speak about gods, and I'd like to say this from the very outset,
mm-hmm.
there is no such thing as gods. It has nothing to do with spirituality. It has nothing to do with beings from a higher plane or something like this, but rather it's that they were space, I mean, flesh and blood space travelers, but our ancestors, because their frame of reference was different back then, didn't understand that they were flesh and blood beings, and thus turned them into something spiritual, turned them into something magical, i.e. misunderstood technologies.
Wow. Well, you know, and this is the thing about it, Giorgio, is that, you know, the first time I'd ever heard anything like this, I believe it's referred to as the ancient astronaut theory, and wasn't this initially put forth by Eric von Däniken?
Exactly, and he's actually the guy that I publish our quarterly journal, a research journal with Legendary Times. And Eric von Däniken and I, we founded Legendary Times, or the Center for Ancient Astronaut Research, back in 1998, almost 10 years ago.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, he, in the late 60s, early 70s, wrote a little book that our listeners might be familiar with called Chariots of the Gods.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the book that kind of started it all. Even though the idea that ETs might have visited Earth in the remote past has been around for centuries. I mean, it's just that, you know, he had the luck to hit it big with that particular book, but the idea has been around for many, many years.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, certainly a lot has changed since that book was published, and I'd have to think a lot of things have come along and been discovered, which has presumably confirmed a lot of this stuff. I mean, you guys have been going full bore for a long time. And been doing great things. You've got the bookstore there at the website, legendarytimes.com. Fantastic stuff there. And it all basically ties into one great thing, which is that regardless of what people may think about the ancient astronaut theory or anything like that, the point is that without a doubt, we can prove that that none of these ancient structures like the Great Pyramid were created solely by innovative human beings of the time.
Right, and I'm glad that you're referring, or you would like to bring up the topic of the pyramids. And right here, I would like to tell the listeners that the ancient astronaut theory, the classic ancient astronaut theory, which Eric von Däniken and I propose or represent, we have never said, nor do we ever suggest, that the pyramids were built by aliens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the ancient texts clearly speak that the extraterrestrials were involved. Basically, the pyramids were built by human hands.
Mm-hmm.
However, with the assistance of the extraterrestrials, of the teachers of the sky,
mm-hmm.
you see, there are, in our Western world, this idea that you know, the pyramids the Great Pyramid was built by Cheops within 22 years, and anybody that's ever played in a sandbox knows how difficult it is to move around in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, mainstream archaeology tries to tell us that they've used wooden rollers with which to transport the gigantic blocks of stone, and so on and so forth. And my question is, well, where did they get all this wood from? Because Giza was a desert even back then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so where was that big forest that was cut down for those wooden rollers?
I've always wondered that myself.
And, you know, and underneath the weight of those big, gigantic stone blocks, those wooden rollers would have been crushed because, mm-hmm. you know, we're not talking about little blocks. We're talking blocks as big as cars, if not bigger, that are, you know, many, many tons. I mean, it's flabbergasting.
At the very least, you'd think that these giant stones would have just simply pushed these giant logs into the sand, and there would be no rolling anyway because they would just be pushed down too far.
Yeah.
Giorgio, let me ask you to hang on for a second, my friend. Folks, we're back in 3 minutes with our very special guest this evening. LegendaryTimes.com is the place. Giorgio Tsoukalos is the guest. Frankly Speaking Radio is the show. Stay with us.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here. Our guest this evening is the chairman and director of the Archaeology, Astronautics, and SETI Research Association, the website legendarytimes.com, Giorgio Tsoukalos. Welcome back, sir.
Great to be here.
Yes, thank you very much. We were just talking about the impossibility of the official theory of how the Great Pyramid was built, and really that ties in with a great many things. We hear so often about the official version of, you know, things, and then, you know, people start looking into it, and you're taught not to ask questions. And it's very intriguing. We were I was thinking of you, of course, last week when we were the subject came up about some of this stuff, and people were talking about I guess it was the official version of why it's not okay to sort of ask questions in Egypt. And Egyptology in general, basically, to ask questions of that, they don't take too kindly to that over there, do they?
Well, unfortunately, see, here's where the straight story doesn't jive well with the Egyptologists, and that is, you know, whenever you try to get a permission to investigate, a permit to investigate in Egypt, you have to go through certain people. And the moment that they find out that you are, quote-unquote, what they consider to be the fringe, then you're immediately shut down.
Mm.
So there's a whole bunch of back doors with the way you have to go about getting a permit in Egypt and all those things. However, you see, there are truly people in the fringe that are complete idiots saying that the pyramids were built by aliens and stuff like this, and that they are dimensional portals and stuff like this. I'm sorry. I mean, that is even to me, that's too much speculation. That's just too far out there. And believe me, Legendary Times is out there, no question. However, we try to keep it as objective as possible, and therefore, you know, we do not disagree with the idea that the Egyptians built the pyramids. You see. There's no question about that. However, the mythologies and the legends behind the building of the pyramids suggest that it was the Egyptians who built the pyramids with the assistance of what they are called the guardians of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
You see, unfortunately, what we don't do in our Western world, and I'm also referring to Western Egyptologists, what we don't do anymore is we don't look at the actual stories, the actual legends and histories
mm-hmm.
that date back from that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is that there it says that a long, long time ago, the heavens opened and the gods descended from the sky, and in parentheses, gods can be translated also as the guardians of the sky or the keepers of the sky. And then they saw that there was a human race, and they also said that let's pick the smartest one and give him the knowledge of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So they picked a guy by the name of Saurit, and they beckoned Saurit to come to the gods, and he did, and he learned their language. They learned his language and vice versa. But they also taught him to write, and so they dictated to him 300 books. And after the completion of this work, Saurit was very proud. But then one day he returned to the gods. And by the way, and again, when I speak of gods, flesh and blood space
right.
travelers, I'm not speaking that they were from a higher plane or spiritual beings, energy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so the gods were extremely saddened, and he was like, what's going on? And they said, well, your world will be destroyed by a big flood. Everything will be destroyed, and most of mankind will be wiped out. And he says, well, but didn't I just take down all this information, the knowledge of the universe? And they said, yes, absolutely. So Saurit went back home to his people, and they had a conference, and they talked about, you know, what shall we do? And so they came to a decision, and then went back to the gods and said, you know, we have a solution. Let's build a gigantic watertight building in which to keep or hide this knowledge, these 300 books, so that after the flood, mankind wouldn't have to start from scratch. And then the gods looked at each other, and they're like, wow, this is a very exciting or a smart young man. We've apparently picked the right one. So, and then it says in that particular ancient text, it says, so it was Saurit and his people who built the pyramid with the assistance of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that any one of the listeners can go and look up at any library and look at the histories of Herodotus and Magneto and everybody, all those ancient historians that got their histories from the ancient people back then.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking thousands of years.
Yes.
And but unfortunately, Western society is so arrogant
mm-hmm.
to not even look at these stories.
Absolutely. And what I was saying initially with my question was basically that, you know, conventional Egyptology probably doesn't want to acknowledge any assistance just as a sort of national pride issue. So that also kind of hamstrings, I guess, the pursuit of knowledge. But you're right on point, my friend. Hang on a second, folks. Back in 3 minutes with our special guest this evening, Giorgio Tsoukalos. Check out the website, legendarytimes.com.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson Music Shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Do it, baby.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Well, and our special guest this evening, Giorgio Tsoukalos, the chairman and the director of research for the Astronautics and SETI Research Association, also the publisher and editor-in-chief of the Legendary Times Quarterly Magazine. Giorgio, welcome back.
Thanks.
You have entirely too many titles, my friend. You're too accomplished.
Yeah, what can I say, you know?
Hey, you're a good man. You know what you're talking about, and obviously that's one of the things that I truly value about your information. You're a very captivating speaker, very knowledgeable about a lot of these things. And what I wanted to ask you about now is basically from everything that I've seen, everything that you've showed me, and all of the research that you guys have on your website, there is physical proof that that these gods in question were not necessarily just spirit beings or anything like that. I mean, there are carvings, there are hieroglyphs, there are pictures and whatnot, and statues that show basically what look like human beings in spacesuits and in spaceships and things of that nature.
Right, exactly, because another thing that we have to establish is also that whenever there is such a strange statue of this being with wings or that appears to look like a spacesuit or, you know, like a helmet with goggles very similar to what today's fighter pilots are wearing and stuff like this, I mean, there is a ton of those statues and reliefs and paintings and what have you that have spanned throughout history that, again, not extraterrestrials have made these statues. It's human artists that have seen this, that have seen something, and they thought it's so important that they thought, wow, this stuff has to be captured in stone or in clay. Like one of the most famous pieces of evidence that we have is, for example, and I'm sure everybody's familiar with this, is the Palenque stone slab of the tomb of the Palenque ruler Pakal. And indeed, on there, it is absolutely flabbergasting. You have this guy, and it's ruler Pakal, as he sits almost like an astronaut in a capsule, and he has his foot on some sort of a pedal. His hands are manipulating some controls. In front of his nose is almost something like a breathing apparatus or something like that. And he sits in this contraption at the very bottom. It looks like there is flames coming out of it. And on top, there's a tower with very technological-looking things. Now, archaeology says, myologists say that, oh, baloney, this is absolutely not a technical interpretation, but it's a rather symbolized interpretation of his death as he is swallowed up by the underground monster, and as he dies a tragic death, the tree of life is growing out of his chest. And to me, it's like, what are you talking about? These are nothing but hollow phrases. Wow. What is a tree of life? What's the underground monster? Have you ever seen one? I haven't. You know, I mean.
But I've seen a spacesuit before.
Exactly. There you go. You know. But here's the thing. There's many interpretations, and the great thing about this stone lid is that around it is a band of Maya glyphs. And they have, for most parts, been translated. And Maya Shealy, she is like the most eminent scholar of Mayan language. Up until her death, she firmly established and held on to this whole, you know, Pakal being swallowed up by the underground monster theory.
Mm-hmm.
But when it became clear that she... and this is an unfortunate fact, that she was going to die soon. She was very old. She changed her entire opinion.
Wow.
And guess what she said? She said, no, that whole Pakal underground monster story doesn't make much sense. Here is what I really think this thing says. This lid with the hieroglyphs depicts Pakal's journey to the Milky Way.
Whoa.
Now, exchange Milky Way with space and or even Milky Way. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's a flabbergasted conclusion that she's reached.
Wow.
And you know what? That is actually in one of her books. So it's not like something that, you know, oh, no, it's just hearsay. No, she actually revised her entire life's work and said that it's Pakal, the depiction of Pakal as he is on his journey to the Milky Way.
Wow.
And you see, the Mayan underworld, and hence, you know, being swallowed up by the underworld underground monster, is called Xibalba. And Xibalba, according to Shealy, is somewhere, it's a quote-unquote world/planet somewhere in the Milky Way.
Wow.
So right there we have living mythology.
That's amazing.
That has survived till this day.
Now, how has her turnaround, how was that received among scholars and archaeologists?
Oh, well, we must, of course, interpret Shealy's argument as a symbol. She is illustrating it with symbols. And when we talk about the Milky Way, it's just a figment of the human imagination, because we all know we can't travel to the Milky Way.
Yeah, it's so amazing to me, Giorgio, and very perfectly highlighted in that story there, that certain myths are, you know, thumbs up, and other myths, there's no way. but you know, sometimes, you know, and you remember what it was like. You'd go to school, and the teacher would say, read this poem, and you read a poem about a tree, and the teacher will say, what do you think about this? I think it's about a tree. No, what does the tree represent? Well, maybe it's just a tree. You know, sometimes these old stories, that's just their best explanation for exactly what we think it is.
No, and what really flabbergasts me is that, you know, we are allegedly in a modern society, in a society that has come far, technologically speaking. But, you know, unfortunately, the indoctrination has been that technology only evolves, or evolution only evolves from point A to point B, from point B to point C. It's all gradual. Mm-hmm. But if we look at it from a Hindu perspective, what if everything is cyclical? That it's all one big repetition. After every peak, there is a valley, and after every valley, there is a peak. So it's never an actual gradual evolution in technology, but it's all been sort of a up and down, mm-hmm. where, you know, not everything that we've been taught in school is correct, and all you have to do is scratch the surface. You don't even have to look deeper.
That's true.
I mean, it's really amazing that, you know, if you just turn over a couple of stones, all of a sudden your whole worldview is kind of going out of focus. But you know what? That's a good thing, for crying out loud.
Yes.
You know, because wake up, man. Let's no longer be asleep at the wheel.
Well said. Very well said. Well, I wanted to ask you about this as well, because when you look at, and you mentioned about these stashing of these 300 texts that really encompass the secrets of the universe, where were those located, and have they ever been found?
Oh, good question. I'm glad you are actually bringing that up, because I forgot to finish the story. Mm. No, of course, those books, well, officially these books have not been found, all right? Who knows? Yeah. I mean, you know, let's all remember that the last scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark,
oh, yeah.
where the Ark of the Covenant is carted off in that big warehouse. Don't think that that's just Hollywood. You know, I mean, stuff like that happens on a daily basis, mm-hmm. because mankind is supposed to sit at home at night in front of the TV watching American Idol, and that's it. Not to question authority in quotation marks and stuff like this. And so, you know, we don't know if those books have been found. But, I mean, of course, for the past 15, 16 years, there have been credible rumors going around that, you know, the Edgar Cayce's predicted Hall of
yes.
Records was found. And in one article, well, actually in two articles of Legendary Times, we've published maps, and we've published, a cross-section of what that Hall of Records allegedly looks like and stuff like that. So stuff is definitely going on. But like I said at the outset of this interview, to get there, you see, mm-hmm. it's very difficult to be able to go into that inner circle, to have access.
Yeah.
That is the problem, mm-hmm. unless you compromise, and Legendary Times most certainly will never compromise.
God bless you for that. Well, I remember, several years ago when they were doing a live opening of some passageway in one of the pyramids, and we had talked about, you know, this whole thing before it had happened, and then afterwards you had written an incredible review of the program, and basically you just annihilated it to pieces, which I thought was fantastic. And obviously there are some obstacles there in conventional Egyptology. Zawi Hawass, is that his name?
Yes.
He's always being mentioned on this program.
Well, I mean, it's really unfortunate that the way this whole project literally turned into a debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the bottom line is that door was discovered by Rudolf Gantenbrink. And nothing happened for 10 years in 1993 in March. And nothing happened for 10 years. And then in 2003, National Geographic all of a sudden, as a complete surprise to all of us, had something on their website saying National Geographic proudly presents the opening of a mysterious door that was discovered by Zai Hawass 10 years ago. Not one mention of Rudolf Gantenbrink. And essentially, the second we saw that, we started a huge internet campaign together with Robert Bovall and the Daily Grail of Australia and so on and so forth, you know, players in the industry. And we sent around a petition, had it on our website, and within days we had over 5,000 signatures, sent that off to National Geographic, and the very next day, after they had received our signatures, they changed their tune, where Gantenbrink all of a sudden was mentioned that as the original discoverer of that door. But unfortunately, that does not change the fact that Gantenbrink was not invited to participate in the opening of that door, and the whole idea that this door was opened for the first time and live was also wrong, because if it had been live, the shots outside of the pyramid would have had to be that, because this was filmed for the U.S. audience for primetime television, which would have meant that primetime television in the U.S. was the sunrise in Egypt. So the skies were still pitch black. So right there, that was a dead giveaway that it was not live.
Right.
The second thing was that they had already drilled through the hole before the program went on the air. So they already they called it a test drill. But come on, we've been around the block, Frank. I mean, you can't. I mean, yeah, you can fool a few people, but you can't fool you and me and the rest of this audience.
Right on.
Okay? I mean, they looked through that door before they had the quote unquote live shot, and whatever was behind it, whatever, you know, they knew it ahead of time, because the ramifications, I mean, it's just that's how it is. The ramifications, what is at stake, is way too big. Let's say that they actually would have found something behind that door.
Absolutely.
You know, but I mean, in a few months, I think there's rumors going around that they will actually, because they discovered a door behind the door, there will be another opening, quote unquote, you know, of that door. But, you know, I mean, long story short, and nobody talks about the fact that, you know, in those 10 years that nothing happened, quote-unquote, from 93 until 2003, there was a period in which the pyramid was closed for close to 9 months. And in the middle of the night, there was a conveyor belt of people carrying out baskets and baskets of rubble.
Wow.
And nobody knows, well, what did they do? Obviously, they did some digging in there. And it's, no, nothing. It's all for preservation. I'm sorry. Those buildings have been around for millennia. There is no need of renovation, okay? So, gosh, it's just all so very, very bizarre, you know, so...
Anything to perpetuate the lie, like you said, there's so much at stake, and I imagine... In addition to credibility, there's also funding issues, and of course, the less we understand, the more we can fund that. So, you know, they want to perpetuate the, you know, the big question mark, I guess you could say.
Well, yeah, and the unfortunate thing is that, you know, you have two kinds of people. You have staunch scientists that try to explain everything away by science. And then you have staunch religionists that try to explain everything away with God or with something spiritual. But have you ever remarked that if you listen to both people that are at the top of their profession, at top theologians or at top scientists, regardless who you listen to, they both come to the same conclusion. Mankind is the greatest there ever was and there ever will be. And it's like, are you kidding me? We are nothing but a speck of dust in the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Now, does that frighten me? Absolutely not. because it would frighten me if we are the pinnacle of creation, because that, to me, is an insult in the face of creation, because right now, we're not doing that great.
No, well said. Very well said. Yeah, the proof is in the pudding. You'll know them by their fruit. I mean, exactly. Every sort of analogy you can come up with, you're right on point there. We're not doing so well at all. I wanted to ask you about this, my friend. Speaking of technology and various things like that, and certainly myths, because I think that if you look back, any sort of legend, any sort of myth, any sort of folklore, there always, always, always is a seed of truth. These are not just people who were bored and had nothing better to do. So they're like, let's just make up some crap. It's all based on something. It's all for a purpose in some regard. That is how they passed on history, was through oral stories. So, you know, this is a way of recounting where they came from, what happened to their people, and sort of all that. So there's always an element of truth in everything. So
that's a fantastic point, and to illustrate this even further a little bit.
Oh, right? I'm sorry. We have some
music
here.
Let's go back from when we come back.
Yes, sounds good. Folks, great. Stay with us here. We have a short break, only 3 minutes, and we're back with our special guest this evening. His name is Giorgio Tsoukalos. He is, of course, the chairman and director of research at AASRA and LegendaryTimes.com with an incredible bookstore. Check it out there, folks. We'll be back in three.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you, from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. I hope you've been over there and checked it out. Incredible volumes of information there. LegendaryTimes.com. We have with us Giorgio Tsoukalos. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. So when we left off, we were talking about, you know, the myths, mythology, folklore, stories, oral histories and whatnot.
Yeah. Exactly, and because the point you raised is that, you know, people had this incredible oral histories, and you're absolutely correct in that, that, you know, people, their oral traditions, that's their, that was their history. They were mm-hmm. extremely meticulous in, you know, passing on these stories to subsequent generations.
Mm-hmm.
And the point I was going to make is that when writing was invented, due to the fact that it was such a new invention, what do you think the people wrote down for the? What was the first thing they wrote down?
That's right.
Fantasy stories or their actual history?
That's right.
It was certainly not fantasy stories. It was stuff that was so incredibly important because they had found out a way to put it to paper or put it to mm-hmm. stone so that it could be preserved for next for future generations. So if those ancient, the first stories that we have that are in writing, if they talk about these strange beings that descended from the sky in silver eggs, or that, you know, whenever they descended, the heavens were smoking and there was a lot of noise and the ground was trembling and stuff like this, we should take it as such. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously the frame of reference of our ancestors was different, but they were not, I repeat, they were not dumb, they were not stupid. It's just that technologically speaking, they were not as advanced yet.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, if a spaceship or if some sort of a shuttlecraft arrived, you know, they did liken it or describe it as a flying snake
sure.
or a dragon that was spewing fire, and, you know, Garuda, Indra's bird of prey or celestial bird and stuff like this. Obviously, they said, you know, this was a bird. But if you, in the same breath, described a bird as glistening like metal and making weird noises and it had these incredible weapons, let's not symbolize it. Let's call it what it is.
Yes.
It was
well
a machine.
Said. Well said.
You know, and like this, we have literally thousands of indications. And to make a long story short, you know, if I tell you that there's a sewage system underneath a manhole, you don't need evidence for that. You know it's there.
Mm.
So same thing with all these different indications. You know, sooner or later, you know, every piece that we collect is a piece of a gigantic puzzle.
Mm.
And as we go along, the puzzle is getting clearer and clearer.
Wow, that's fantastic stuff. We're coming up on our legal identification here, my friend. But, you know, give us in about a minute here, give us about a brief overview of what people will find at the website and what is available to them as far as, I know they've got the bookstore and they can sign up and be a member. They can subscribe to the magazine and whatnot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's the magazine is at legendarytimes.com, and it's essentially a gathering place for anybody that's always kind of felt out of place about mm-hmm. these things and just didn't know who to talk to about these things.
Yeah.
But legendarytimes.com is definitely the place of like-minded people where we all come together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
well, that's how we all, yeah, that's how we can expand our knowledge. Of course, we can bounce different ideas and theories and whatnot off of each other and ask the hard questions of people who aren't going to poo-poo you just simply for, you know, saying something that's outside the norm or outside the history books. Folks, stay with us. We're back in about 90 seconds with hour number 2.